are going to present during the session 7 posters, okay, in the order that they are like shown in the website, okay. And some of you, I think Saskia and Rosalia, I have your videos. Eva, if you have a video already recorded and you have it available at your... I also have a video from Sam Lau. If you want, I also have it. You can do it. You can either explain it again or I can put your video. And Eva, if you want to also show your recorded video, you would have to share your screen. If you... You know how to do it? You want to, me to explain? Share your screen.
I hope it.
Okay, the first thing you have to do is open your video. Okay, you pause it. And then you share your screen and they will open a window from Zoom. And you have to make sure that you click above the sound. Okay, that you enable the sound. And then okay. you have to choose the window with the video, and then hopefully everything goes right.
Okay, but, thank you.
Vale, but we're still, I think, missing one person. I'm going to share the first video. Okay, it's the one of Saskia. Megan, if you want, we make first the presentations, and at the end, I think we will have more or less like 20 minutes to make questions, etc. Okay, good. So the first poster is titled Self-Assessment Tool to Promote Organizational Health Literacy in Primary Care Settings in Switzerland. The author is Saskia Maria Vegani of the Carum Foundation in Switzerland. Okay. I'm going to share my screen with the video. Let's see if it works properly. Sharing the sound. Share. Okay, can you see my screen? Yes, good, perfect.
I would like to present to you our pilot project on the development and testing of a self-assessment tool to promote organizational health literacy in primary care settings in Switzerland. Taking care of one's own health and making informed decisions require motivation, knowledge, and skills to access, understand, appraise, and apply health information. These aspects have been conceptualized as health literacy. Regarding Switzerland, a majority of the Swiss population reports low health literacy levels. So, low health literacy levels are linked to poor health outcomes and health behavior, and it is important to support the population with such low levels. Health literacy represents a fundamental health determinant and consequent and provides great potential for healthcare, disease prevention, and health promotion. It can be improved on two levels. On the one hand, by strengthening individual health literacy, and on the other hand, by reducing demands and complexities of the health system, including health providers and professionals. Accordingly, healthcare organizations play an important role in improving populations' health literacy. They can empower patients in self-management and support them in taking an active role in coping with disease and promoting health and well-being. This project aimed at developing a self-assessment tool which enables primary care organizations to assess and improve their organizational health literacy. This tool was developed in a participative process in close collaboration with experts within the field and general practitioners and community care organizations as well. It consists of 3 modules: a manual with detailed introduction and instructions, a checklist for self-assessment of organizational health literacy, and a handbook with measures for improvement. The aim of the self-assessment tool is that organizations can assess strengths and weaknesses, identify their need for action, as well as to plan and implement improvement measures. In a second step, the tool was tested in primary care settings in the Canton of Zurich on whether and how it enables primary care organizations to assess and improve their level of organizational health literacy. This self-assessment tool was structured into six dimensions, several sub-dimensions, and further criteria defining a health-literate primary care organization in Switzerland. The dimensions can be seen in Table 1. The tool was tested by four general practitioners and six community care organizations in the Canton of Zurich. First results of their identified deficits in organizational health literacy are shown in Figure 1 as percentage of fulfilled criteria per dimension. This testing phase was accompanied by an evaluation process which investigated aspects such as user-friendliness, usability, usefulness, and potential development processes towards a more health-literate organization. This evaluation is currently being analyzed and results thereof will be published later on. Based on the evaluation, the tool will be adjusted and then provided for all interested primary care settings in Switzerland. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Saskia. Very good video. Okay. We will have all the questions if you want at the end, or you can also leave your questions if you have some already in the chat. I think it's better to do all the presentations and have a small debate later. But you can already leave your questions in the chat if you want. Any question, Rosalia? I see you're muted. No? Good. Then let's pass to the second. Implementing health literacy tools to improve patients' health by Monica Fernandez Aguilera of the Network of Hospitals and Health Promotion Centers in Spain. Monica, you're going to present your
my own slide. Yes,
perfect.
Yes.
You want to share your screen, right?
Yes, thank you very much, and good morning, everybody, every all colleagues. I'm sharing my screen, and I am presenting this project. I am representing here in Catalonia as Cristina has said, the Catalan Healthcare Promotion and Centers, hospitals and centers. We've been working on health literacy for the past 10-11 years, and now we have, in the last 2 years, we have developed some materials in order to our 25 hospitals of Catalonia implement this kind of materials. So our main object was to enhance this communication in the communication process between patients, relatives, and caregivers, and the health professionals. We think there is a gap in this space. So we developed these materials to help their associates. In the Catalan network, we do also have a group of health literacy, which I coordinate, and the materials work together with the peers to go through them and make them as easy to understand for all the different hospitals and to implement. So the materials were infographics on how to improve oral communication, written communication, and how to achieve health literate organizations, or even how to improve websites for patients. The methodology, as I said, we had this working group on people who are on the background of journalism and quality at hospitals. So we work directly on hospitals and we implement materials at hospitals, right? And we have this this umbrella of our motto, the health with no doubt. We wanted the campaign to have this umbrella and to help communication. So first of all, we implemented the Ask Me 3. We adapted to Catalan language with 3 messages. And after that, we developed these materials and with infographics, which has the same colors and had the same lines, and are were to be implemented at hospitals. That was about February, March of 2020. So as you saw, as you may know, it would be was a little bit of delay in the implementing at hospitals. But I can think that many of the hospitals have had the implementation and have had the experience. Sorry, I will go through the next page. Just a minute. Just a minute. And we have this succeed implementation, and many of the hospitals have had some experience, different experience. The materials are on our website, and we have developed also other. With other experience, the different hospitals have developed other materials. I work here for a public health consortium, which is in the is Catalan network, Consorci Sanitari Integral. We have even implemented these three, the Ask Me 3. We have been even implemented on a leaflet for virtual visits. As a conclusion, I can say that there is a growing interest in enhancing this communication. So these campaigns have been very well received. And COVID-19 health pandemic has also given us this opportunity to review and rethink new channels. And as I say, this virtual visits is a specific specific gap that we have to work on, and that would be. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Monica. Great. Perfect. The third poster is the one by Rosalía Santas Masas Massana of the University School of Nursing of the Santa Creu and Santa Pau Hospital in Spain, and is titled Cultural Adaptation of the Heart Failure Specific Health Literacy Scale and Determination of the Psychometric Properties. Okay, she also sent a video, so I'm going to look for the video. Okay, one moment. Okay, I'm going to share my screen. You see it?
Good morning, my name is Rosalía Santas Masas. I'm a member of a research group composed by nurses from the Catalan Health Institute and Hospital de la Santa Creu y Sant Pau School of Nursing in Barcelona, Catalonia, Spain. I would like to thank the scientific committee for giving me the opportunity to present our study. This study has been funded partially by the Nurse and Society Foundation. In contrast with primary healthcare systems such as Spain, patients with a stable heart failure are attended lifelong in primary healthcare centers by physicians and family nurses. Patients with heart failure and scarce health literacy had difficulties in understanding the information required for self-management. This correlation suggests that primary healthcare clinicians should identify patients with low health literacy. The Heart Failure Specific Health Literacy Scale is a 12-item scale developed by Masuoka et al. The scale was created based on the World Health Organization Health Literacy Model, contains 12 items assessing the three dimensions of health literacy. However, this instrument cannot be used in Spanish-speaking heart failure patients because no Spanish adaptation study have been performed. The aim of our study is to perform the cultural adaptation and determine the psychometric properties of the heart failure-specific health literacy scale. This is a descriptive study of the design and psychometric validity of a measurement instrument in primary care teams in Barcelona city area, and the study subjects are patients with a diagnosis of heart failure coded in the clinical history. According to the guidelines of Beaton, we divide the methodology in two stages, translation and cultural adaptation and validation. Until now, we have carried out step one, forward translation, step two, translation synthesis, and step three, back translation. These are the 12 items we have obtained after this process. The translated and culturally adapted version will be administered to a sample of 191 patients, and the psychometric properties of reliability and validity will be studied. This instrument could be included in the clinical history of primary care in the heart failure program, and this would facilitate follow-up of patients with limited health literacy and could be used as a parameter for the evaluation of educational activities in primary care. Thank you very much for your attention.
Great, thank you, Rosalía. Good, I'm seeing that no one is putting questions on the chat, eh? Okay, next video would be, the next opponent from Nigeria. Is he already here? I don't know if he joined us. There should be an opponent called Navachaku Uwanda from Nigeria. But I think he's not in the room. So he wanted to present, or he presented the, there's no video of barriers of to effective health education and promotion among undergraduate students in Enugu State, Nigeria. I think that he's not in the room, right? So we have one poster left. What a pity. I thought it was very interesting to know more about. No, he's not in the room. Okay, then let's move forward to Eva. Eva Biro of the University of Debrecen in Hungary. She has a poster on health literacy of Hungarian adults based on the results of the health literacy survey in 2019. Eva, you said you wanted to try to share your video that you recorded. Let's try.
Dear audience, in my presentation, I would like to describe the health literacy of Hungarian adults based on the results of the Health Literacy Survey 2019. In spite of the accelerating health literacy research in the last few decades, only limited data are available regarding the health literacy of the Hungarian adult population. However, the association between health literacy and different health outcomes highlights the importance of this topic. That's why the aim of this cross-sectional survey was to provide a snapshot of the health literacy of Hungarian adults from different aspects. The data collection was carried out with the help of a polling company In a representative sample of the adult population with computer-assisted telephone interviewing below the umbrella of the Health Literacy Survey 2019. The questionnaire included items on demographic and socioeconomic data, subjective well-being, social support, general digital and communicative health literacy. During the data analysis, statistical weights were applied to ensure that estimates reflect the general adult Hungarian population by gender, age group, educational level, and settlement type. The determinants of health literacy were investigated with binary logistic regression. On the next slide, you can see the results. The mean age of the nearly 1,200 respondents was 48 years, and nearly half of them were male. Regarding the general health literacy, around 40% of the respondents belong to the inadequate and problematic categories. Nearly half of them has sufficient and one-tenth excellent health literacy. Regarding the differences between the different types of health literacy, it can be stated that the mean score for the digital health literacy was the lowest, while the mean score for the communicative health literacy was the highest. When we investigate the determinants of general health literacy with the help of the binary logistic regression, it can be seen from the table that the odds of excellent and sufficient health literacy after adjusting for gender, education, employment status, residence, and social status was higher among those who belong to the older age group, can be characterized by higher social support and better subjective health. Our findings suggest that nearly two-fifths of the adult Hungarian population has low general health literacy, but the level of communicative health literacy is a little bit higher compared to the other scores. Surprisingly, we found no clear relationship with the level of education, but social support seems to be an important determinant based on our results. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Eva. Great, very interesting. Okay, great. We have also one question already in the chat. I encourage you to leave your questions in the chat. And we will have, I think, the last poster. It's titled Preschool Teachers Perception and Knowledge of COVID-19, Influenza and Common Cold During COVID-19 Pandemic by Law Sam, Hong Kong Baptist University of Hong Kong. Great, then let's see. I'm going to look for the video. You want me to share your video, no? Your pre-recorded video, right?
Yes, great. Great, thanks.
See, yeah, I'm going to mute because they are doing something here in the building and it's like a torture. Huh? I'm going to mute myself.
Yeah, and also I have my partner Isa Yip to join me for the presentation. Yeah, you turn off your mic, Christina.
Hey, everyone. We are IC Yip and Sam Lau, coming from Hong Kong Baptist University. We are introducing a very interesting topic, preschool teachers' perception and knowledge of COVID-19, influenza, common cold during the COVID-19 pandemic. Teachers' knowledge of contagious disease is an important health protective resources in preventing and controlling contagious disease outbreak. The uncertainties and impact of COVID-19 have been fueling growing health awareness and consciousness in the community. Yet, little is known of the preschool teacher perception towards contagious diseases. So the aim of the study is to examine the knowledge of Chinese preschool teachers towards the characteristic and transmission of COVID-19 and two common contagious diseases, influenza and common cold during the COVID-19 pandemic. The descriptive cross-sectional study was conducted in August to October last year through convenient sampling. We have 113 valid questionnaires for data analysis.
So moving on to the results, we noticed that most of the teacher respondents answered correctly the contagious nature of COVID-19 and influenza. But as for the common cold, only 67% noticed that common cold is contagious. As for the symptoms, most of the respondents answered correctly the symptom of common cold, but not quite for the COVID-19 and influenza. So if we look at the treatment, most of the respondents have a little understanding of the treatment, especially the use of antibiotics in treating contagious diseases, which is not possible. And as for the vaccine, most of the respondents noticed that the contagious disease were preventable by vaccine. So moving on the transmission mode, most of the teacher respondents, we noticed that they have a generally satisfactory understanding of the transmission of the three contagious diseases. So to conclude, so we note that none of the teacher respondents in the studies answer all questions correctly. And the study also revealed that the preschool teachers' overall knowledge about COVID-19 was generally higher as compared to other two common contagious diseases, influenza and common cold. So as for the limitation, because of the social distancing measures, we have a relatively small sample size, which may hinder the generalization of the result. Also, most of the participants in the studies were pre-service teacher. So to look ahead, we aim to study the perception of the in-service teachers. So thank you so much.
Great, thank you. So it's a pity that we don't have the colleague from Nigeria to present his poster. Well, we have now half an hour for questions. I see, there are a lot in the chat. Very good. Great. I'm going to read some of them. Let's organize. Okay. Dip Jacques Tapa is asking to everyone, I wonder if all of the materials presented in Spanish are also available in English? I think that probably you mean the materials presented by Monica Fernandez?
Yes? I answer by the chat, but yes, here in in Catalonia, we deliver materials in both languages, in Catalan or in Spanish. For the AsmiTree, which is a copyright campaign, we have translated into, and we have also even asked for permission to translate it into Catalan. But this material, AsmiTree, it's on the website. If you go, if you browse AsmiTree, you can have all the materials in many languages.
Thank you.
I could not look at the chat one moment. Very good. See, I also found it very interesting, your project, Monica, with the materials.
Thank you very much.
See, very simple, but I think that quite effective. Also this three question system, I think it's something I didn't know about it, for example. I didn't know it, and I think it's a great initiative. Congratulations.
Thank you. There was also another question that I answered on chat. It was implemented in primary care. As I said, it was meant to be during 2020, but because we have the pandemic, we stopped it. So now it is true that the centers that are on the HPH Catalonia network are mostly hospitals, but there are also primary care systems. So maybe in months, maybe they also have the idea to implement on primary care. And if we, another question, if we have evaluated, yes, we have designed like an evaluation, but we haven't still evaluated, but we have designed this pre-evaluation before these campaigns and after the campaigns to see if they have impact on the experience of the patients and professionals.
One very general question: how were the patient or the target population included in the design of the project?
We work as I'm speaking from my consortium, okay, of public health. We are here in Barcelona, located, and we do have a special commission with patients of patient experience. So they have been included on the evaluation or to design the evaluation. My experience, every hospital has different realities, but from my experience, is that what we did.
Great. So it really came out of one of your already working groups, no, with patients.
Yes.
Great.
But so the thing is, yes. So, sorry. Yes.
It responds like also to a necessity that was identified by the own patients.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would say yes.
No, I had a questions, the general questions, you know, for you everyone. We are using this concept in health literacy. How do you think can we use the same concept in lower income countries? Like, same principles. Can it be used in, for example, I'm from Nepal. And I think, I see there is a need of such research in Nepal because there is so low health literacy. So can we use the same principles to in such countries or not? Because it's general about the general knowledge about health literacy. So can it be used or not? It's the question for you, everyone.
See, very good question. Yep. I'm not an expert in health literacy, so perhaps some of you want to leave your comment. What is your opinion about it? We are also from very different contexts and countries, no? I say, for example, from our point of view, Monica or Rosalia, no?
If you allow me, I am a journalist and I've been working for 13 years at Public Health Consortium. I manage a communication department. So I'm focused on that. I'm focused on trying to adapt language all the time. So I found health literacy was the solution, right? And it is true that it's a lot of work to do, not even in Nepal, but here in Catalonia because the main gap is that we have two different languages, the medical language and the patient language. And if the patient language has also a low literacy, not even in health, it is more difficult, right? So that's, for me, that's the word reason. In our group, we have many journalists working at hospitals. So I think that this is a good beginning because we are connected with these solutions, giving simple messages, as you say, as you have seen, SME3 is that, is simplifying the communication process, is that. And I think these three questions may be international. I think that's why the ASME3 has been implemented in many countries with a good success.
Great. Thank you, Monica. Okay, now a question from Dolores Juvignat to everyone, to Eva. A question to Eva, which scale did you use in your study?
Yes, our survey was part of an international one. So we just used the same scale in every participated countries. And this is just a follow-up study of the European Health Literacy Survey, which happened in 2011. But now they developed further this questionnaire, and we used an abbreviated version, a 12-item version of this general health literacy questionnaire. And I'm just posting a link in the chat. So if you are interested deeply in this international survey, then you can find there more information, even about the different languages where you can find the questionnaire and any other information and how can you get the scale if you would like to use it in your own survey as well.
Okay.
Yes, and I have another question as well,
exactly.
So
maybe it's
easier to answer it the two together. Yes. So in our survey participated adults, it means that there will be students as well, and those who are inactive or retired, those who are active workers. And also we have questions about if they were trained in healthcare or not. And when I showed the result of the logistic regression, then we corrected for all of these factors, and it seems that it's not influenced the level of the health literacy. So based on this, it seems that there is not a big difference between the different groups, between the students, the retired person, the active workers, in the level of health literacy. But it also can be that it happened also the type of the scale which is used to measure health literacy, because there are a lot of different scales which can be used. There are performance-based and self-assessed scales as well. So usually it can be that if you use maybe not a self-assessed one as happened in our scale, but a performance-based scale, then it will be much more influenced by the employment status or with the level of education than in our case.
May I have a follow-up questions? Yeah. So I was wondering if the study is before the COVID-19 or during the COVID-19. I was wondering if COVID-19 may be a key factor affecting the health literacy level. Eva?
Okay, so it's happened at the end of last year. So it was just the second wave of COVID-19 in Hungary. That's why we use the telephone interviewing. But I'm not sure if it will influence our results or not, because these are very general questions. So I think that it's not a COVID-specific questionnaire, so maybe it will be not influenced by the COVID from that point of view, only maybe just due to the methodology that we cannot ask personally the questions just by a telephone interviewing. And that's why our questionnaire has to be shortened in order to be able to make the survey.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I can add here.
Yep.
Germany and Switzerland were part as well of the HLS-19. And Germany did two studies. So they did before the pandemic and in summer during the pandemic to see whether there was an influence, and there seems to be an influence. And we, together with Germany, did also a corona-specific study on health literacy, which shows that the corona-specific health literacy seems to be a little bit higher because it's that specific and we had so much information on this issue. But it's hard to evaluate how much did COVID influence and what will the influence be later on.
Thank you.
And Eva, one general question. I said I'm not a specialist in health literacy. You said the social support was a characteristic that was very related, no? Do you have any idea why it could be any important characteristic? Or you have any like probable explanation?
Yes, we found this interesting result in other studies as well. So it really seems to be a coherent conclusion that there is somehow connection between social support and health literacy. And maybe it can be as a mediator effect, so that social support influences the health as well, and health literacy is connected with the health status. So maybe right. This is somehow mm-hmm. how the people can share their opinions, their problems, can discuss each other the different kind of problems. And I think that this is rather a mediating effect, how the social support can influence the health literacy. But it can be interesting to try to make interventions to check this idea, and also maybe if we can improve the social support together with the level of knowledge of the people, maybe in community groups, in club sessions, or with the help of health mediators in the healthcare system, then it can be that it can be a useful way to improve the health literacy as well. So we are just trying to right. investigate that part in the future.
Thank you, Eva. Great. I'm going to check the chat if there is any. I think there were more questions. Vale, healthcare centers was already answered. Dolores de Mignon was also answered. Okay, Monica Fernandez, I think that's also your response, right? Yeah. Rosalia. Vale, a question from Deep Jack Tapa to Rosalia. If the scale is also available in English, if so, can you share the link? Perhaps you have already done it, no?
Yes, yes. Perfect. I've sent it already.
Great, okay. Okay, and one question from Eva to Monica. Evaluation of the effect of your intervention. We also have spoke about it. Great. Thanks for sharing. Good. Okay, a question for Mayra Saskia Vegani. I hope I'm not. Can you detail some items included in the checklist for self-assessment of organizational health literacy? Thank you.
I can say that we published the checklist in English. So we translated in English, and it's published in the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health. And there you can find the entire checklist if you are interested. But I can name some issues. So it's about the access of the organization. So do you offer several ways to contact? Do you create circumstances that allow a calm conversation, for example? So it's also on communication, on oral and written communication. It's also on promoting health literacy of the patients. So do you empower your users to access health information, or it's about on promoting health literacy of the staff members, and also on incorporating health literacy into the management and the organizational processes.
Mm. This seems also a very important point, no? To incorporate it also from higher levels.
Mm? Yeah, and the first evaluation results, which I cannot show because we are analyzing it at the moment, but the first results show that the commitment of the higher level is necessary, that it will be successful.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are there any other questions you want to make? Take advantage that you're all experts in health literacy and that you come together in this room. If not, I have a very general question for Sam Lau and Ip Ching. I'm sorry, I'm not seeing your full name. Why did you choose the population, the professors, no?
Yeah, the reason
was
that
it a convenient sample, or how did you? Why did you design the study? Hmm.
So it's a convenient sampling. So our target group was a preschool teacher.
We
run a preschool teacher program here at Hong Kong Baptist University. So interests us to get to know more about health knowledge and a perception of a preschool teacher. So we do have one limitation though. Most of our participants were pre-service teachers, around 80%, and 20% coming from the in-service teacher. So looking ahead, we hope to get to know more about the perception or the knowledge of health of the in-service teacher.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great, thank you. Okay, well, I think I have no questions more. I don't know if you want to share any comments.
I just have one question. Yeah, because our study are more on the educators, and one's on adult, and Eva mentioned that there may be not much difference between student or working class. I was wondering if other presenter or speaker, do you have any references of the health literacy or their general knowledge of educators in general in your country or in your area?
Great question.
For us, I am having concern. I can help you. I can help you, I'm afraid. But it is interesting. It's very interesting.
So perhaps it's a knowledge gap. No, I did a bit. Something to explore more. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions? If not, we could finish the poster session now. There are not on other questions. I'm going to look through the chat again, that I don't forget any question. Okay, let's start. Abilities. Okay.
Some of you do not seem to have a research gate. So I request you to have a research gate so that we can follow and have some connections. So I have followed
research
some of
gate.
You.
Already. Okay, research gate, great.
Yeah, research gate, yes.
Oh, okay, good. I think that all the questions in the chat have been answered, right? Okay, well, taking into account that we had one poster less, and if there are not any other questions, okay. I think that also the sessions are recorded. So if you have further questions, you can also have the links and et cetera later. So thank you very much for joining and presenting your poster. And have a good day. And enjoy the rest of the Congress, okay?
Bye. Thank you.
See you in other sessions.
Thank you.
Bye, thank you all. Bye.